on there? Are we there?
We are there. Hey, it's the 15th of the month, and you know what happens on the 15th of the month. It is time for us to have our Vital Living Monthly.
That's right. So here we are. Boy, this is, we'll tell you a little bit about how we got into this tonight. Woo, this is a fire drill for us. So for those of you that are out there, we can tell you a little bit about what we went through here in Mexico. We're in a friend's office. That's why you see this interesting background. But anyway, this is Vital Living. And Robert, you want to tell them what this is about for the podcast this year?
Absolutely. This is a part of Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. Literally, we have no walls. That means no matter where you are in the world, anytime. Yeah, we are inside some walls, yes. But there are no boundaries to where this ministry can reach. We can penetrate anything that has cell service or has internet service. And with that, we can get the message around the world, and it does go around the world. I know we have people in Africa and India. We have people on all the continents who watch this program or participate in this program. And so we're really, really excited to be able to come here with our church with no walls and present our Vital Living.
And he's Robert Schuller.
Yes.
Did you say that?
I am Robert Schuller.
You know what's so funny?
I did.
We have to go through all these things because you that are watching on Facebook can see who we are. You know who we are. But this goes out to a podcast and about 8 different platforms, including iHeartRadio and just all kinds of different platforms that that broadcast this podcast after we get done with this evening's live broadcast. So we have to kind of stick to a little bit of a script. Otherwise, people that are listening go, who is this? What are they talking about? So let me tell you that I'm Donna Schuller, and we want to thank you again for joining us on this Vital Living Monthly, previously called The Call. And our goal is to help you learn more about yourself, more about others, and most importantly, more about God and to grow closer to God. If you're on the phone call right now and you would rather see us, you can go to Facebook and go to Robert Schuller Ministries Facebook page right now. We're on broadcasting from a friend's office. And this is also available, like I said, in our podcast, and it will be on our YouTube channel after it runs live tonight. And we're just glad you're here. Oh, later, we have an amazing guest. I'm excited about this.
Well, before you go on, let me just say more about
please,
our podcast.
Your turn.
Yeah, let me say more about our podcast. If you are watching on Facebook Live for the first time and you want to hear some of the previous ones we've done over the past, how far back do our podcasts go?
Oh, gosh.
How many years?
Well, we've been doing this for 6 years.
So we've been
I don't think we discovered or learned that we should do that. So that's kind of
a few years.
Question. Yeah.
So there's probably 24 to 36 of these.
Oh, at least.
You can listen
right
to on our podcast. And if you have an Alexa or if you have another device of that nature, you can simply ask Alexa, just say go to Robert Schuller Ministries, and Alexa will pull up the options
exactly.
for you. And you can listen to a podcast.
And it's Robert Schuller Ministries podcast is what you want to look for. And like Robert said, we're on Alexa, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, Buzzsprout, if that isn't enough.
Yeah.
Automatic and Alexa. So
we've got all of them. We're trying to get all of the bases covered so that no matter what kind of device you have, you'll still be able to participate and be able to listen and grow through this experience that we offer you today. So so this is our church with no walls, and we just want to welcome you all here today. So that's exciting.
I think the first thing we need to do is to kind of calm down and start. We always like to start with prayer anyway, but let's tell you about how we got here in this friend's office just in the nick of time to start this at 7.
Just by the hair on my
exactly. So let's come to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have a sense of humor and you allow us to have a sense of humor, because otherwise we could just take things way too seriously, and you know, there's a time for humor, and there's a time for lightness and trust and balance, and thank you for allowing us to discover at 30 minutes before we were to go on live, thank you for allowing us to discover that our internet, where we live and we're in Mexico, was not working. We couldn't get on anything, Lord, and you knew that, and you knew that we needed to test it early and you knew that we had just enough time to get in our car and drive 15 minutes to our friend's office. And thank you, Lord, that we have a friend that donates to the office for our Sunday morning services here. And anytime we need it, and tonight we needed it, Lord, and you knew we were going to need this. And we just thank you for the joy that you bring into our hearts. We thank you for this Advent season and for all it means to us. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. So if you're familiar at all with Mexico, we're in a little community called San Jose del Cabo. And we are literally right across the street from the Cabo Azul Hotel, which is a beautiful resort. And we're upstairs above a restaurant. And what's interesting, it's a fish restaurant. So they have this giant, I call it
down
giant.
There.
It's about
about
a 5-foot red metal modern-looking fish, like in the shape of a tuna. And that's the symbol of Christianity, is the fish. So it's like a gem that's available for us.
It
is. This is where we hold our services. We move the tables around, and we worship God with different kinds of music. And in fact, when we finish this, we'll start preparing our plans for tomorrow morning.
That's right. I'll load up all the music, and we'll do some responsive listening with the group down here, our small group. And so we're looking forward to it. This is one of those rare times, since we only do Vital Living Monthly on the 15th. The 15th happens to be a Saturday night, so it's sort of exactly the sort of back-to-back service of sorts.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah. So anyway, I know we've talked a lot. We have this guest that we want to introduce you to, and his name is Wally Razaki, and he was born in Pakistan, and he is an amazing person that we met just recently.
In church, at Bel Air.
And I made a mistake, not Pakistan, Afghanistan.
No, Afghanistan. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I apologize. In
Kabul. No, no.
But he is the president of a film company, and he has made all kinds of films, and he has a tremendous testimony about how Jesus really selected him and chose him.
Absolutely.
And that's what I want you to hear, his testimony. He was raised a Muslim, and he found Jesus in the most unique and beautiful way.
That was 3 years ago.
And he's got the most beautiful spirit. So I want you to hear his testimony.
He's a perfect interview because, like Robert said, we just met him a couple of weeks ago. We went up to Bel Air Church, Bel Air Presbyterian Church, and which is a little over an hour drive for us on Sunday. And it was just a wonderful experience. We went up there specifically because a good friend of ours, one of Robert's and my mentors, Chris Halverson, was guest preaching there. And this really alive man came walking into the sanctuary a couple minutes late and sat a few rows, or I think just one row in front of us. And I thought, wow, what a cool jacket he has on. What a cool look he has. And after the service, he and I, in fact, I'll post the picture. We ended up having a picture together because he said, hey, you and I are kind of dressed alike. So I guess I was dressed kind of cool. I just did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, I had this cool little pin around my collar, and I had a great freaking jacket on, and so did he.
Did you have similar colors, maybe?
Oh, yeah, with similar colors, a similar look. He's very dark, you know, having been born in Afghanistan. I'm very, very white, having been born in Southern California, and, blonde hair, blue eyes, for those of you that can see me. And so it's just I have a great photo, and I'll post it on Facebook. And but anyway, he's just a warm, kind man. And unbeknownst to us, we had no idea, but we were invited to a little private luncheon with the pastor, Drew.
This is at Bel Air Presbyterian Church.
Yes, yes. Why am I blanking on his last name? Wally will have to tell us. But Drew Sams, he's an amazing, dynamic young man that went to seminary with our Bobby. They're the same age. They're 37. So
they graduate the same year?
I believe so. Yes, exactly. And he said they stood in line together. He was Sams and Schuler.
Exactly. They graduated both in 1980.
Right.
No, 19, not 19, No, 2008.
Yeah, 2008.
I knew there was an 8 in there.
That was you.
That was me, exactly.
Not me. I'm not that old.
Well, our brains are a little
We're a little scattered. We kind of drive through a dirt road. Anyway, the whole thing was hysterical.
Yeah, it's...
But we are, you know, we're celebrating the Christmas season, and Robert's message tomorrow will be that on the third week of Advent. And we thought, what better guest than to have Wally, to talk to Wally about the love of Jesus as we get ready to celebrate the greatest birth ever on planet Earth, right?
And absolutely.
We're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and Jesus is love. And Wally truly is love, just in the little bit that we've known him. So, and I don't know if I finished about that lunch. So we walk into the lunch after church with the pastor, and he's got a couple other people there, and then we brought another guest with us, and our pastor friend was guest preaching. There were only about 8 of us in there, and in walks Wally. So he is also a very special, very close friend of the pastor, and we had no idea he'd be in there. So we got to talk to him a little for another couple of hours and decided to invite him on this evening, which is, I can't wait to talk to him because it's been a while. So if you want to see, I don't know, would you want to, you already talked about him. Wally, are you on the phone with us? Are you there? I know I asked you to mute. Typically, we ask our guests to mute.
So it's time for him to unmute?
It's time for him to unmute if he's there. Are you there, Wally? Hello?
So do you give him the right phone number?
I give him the right phone number. And he has my phone number, too. So
here's what I'm going to tell you.
Well, wait a minute, because I think I'm a little early. No, it's 7:12. Well, I want you to read a little bit about... or tell them a little bit about maybe your sermons and the themes for the first few weeks of Advent.
Well, if you participate with our church services on Facebook, then you've seen me talking about the different Sundays of Advent. So we've talked about joy and love and the ones coming up. No, I'm sorry. Joy is coming up. You've heard us. We've talked about oh, golly, I'm so scatterbrained, I can't even think of what all that.
I'm texting Wally as we talk.
But anyway, we've been doing this for quite a few years, and it wasn't an easy task for us to get here this evening. Maybe you figured that out. And, in fact, I forgot our lighting, so we just have this down lighting, and so the picture looks a little unusual.
It's okay. We're borrowing a friend's office.
Yes, absolutely.
Beggars can't be choosers, right? So we're blessed that we have this office, and we already said we usually do our Sunday service, which will be here tomorrow morning. So
I'm reading the different – so every Sunday I've been reading different scriptures on the – starting off with the angels coming to Joseph and the faith that Joseph had to have in the words that the angel gave him, and take Mary as his wife. Then I talked the next week about Mary and how she had to have this amazing encounter with an angel who told her that what she is conceiving is from the Holy Spirit and that she is the name of Jesus. And so we talk about that, and then tomorrow I'm going to be talking about the shepherds, how the shepherds are out in their fields and the angels appear to them, and they go into the and see the Christ child. And then next Sunday I'll be talking about the wise men and the joy that they had when they actually found that the star had led them to the Christ child in Bethlehem, and they presented their gifts of gold, frankincense.
Well, and, yeah.
So anyway, that's what we've been talking about through the 4 weeks of Advent here in the month of December. So you can join us tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock Pacific time.
Mm-hmm.
Or
6 p.m.
And then we repost that at 6 that night.
Right. Well, it'll be posted all day, actually, after 8.
Okay.
We just preview it. Premiere. Is the premiere 8 a.m. and 6 p.m.? So you want to miss that. Wally's on now. Wally, we have already introduced you, and people are excited to hear from you. Are you there? Oh, hang on.
Hello?
Hello, you're there. Hi, Wally.
Oh, hi. Hi there.
Hi. Your volume's a little low. I've got mine up as loud as I can.
Okay, hopefully this is better.
That is perfect. So you missed what we barely got here. We live part time down here in Mexico, but found out 30 minutes before we were supposed to go live that our internet was not working. So we rapidly threw everything in the car, including the little tripod that Robert's camera stays on. And fortunately, we have a friend's office in town, which, oh my gosh, we had a key and the lights were already on. The lights they're not great for production, but they're okay. So.
And in the background, you can hear you might be able to hear the music in the background.
From the restaurant below us. But
all around us.
I know. But welcome to Mexico.
Well, I must say, my story of getting on this call right here is a lot less dramatic than yours, because I heard everything you actually said. I heard.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I heard about the fish. I heard the wonderful intro you gave about Drew and about meeting me in our outfit. I just, for some reason, I couldn't unmute myself, and so I just actually changed phones, and I tried it again.
Got it.
And it worked. So,
well, we are very glad you're here.
Yes. Gosh, so am I. This is it's so wonderful when you meet someone and you have no idea who they are, and you have no reason to believe that you are going to ever, you know, stay in touch, but you brought a certain joy to me, you know, when we met each other in the sanctuary that day, and then to have met each other again at that lunch and just kind of go from there. It was, God, you know, what a blessing to have met both of you.
Well, it was incredible. And, you know, you've heard us say we're talking about the love of Jesus because it's his birthday. We celebrate his birthday this month. It's coming up quickly for those of you listening that haven't finished your shopping or mailed out Christmas cards, if that's what you do. I know we still do that. Some people don't.
We spent the morning working on Christmas cards. We were up till about
midnight.
Close to midnight last night working on
Christmas cards.
Yeah. So if you want a Christmas card, you can write to us. And maybe we can get you one.
Yeah, not you, Wally. Just anybody out there, Robin. You're making a lot of promises.
I want a Christmas card now. I want a Christmas card now.
I'm going to send you one, Wally.
We have a digital Christmas card online.
Yes, the digital Christmas card is on Facebook here below us as we speak.
Perfect.
So, Wally, we want to get right into the important meat of this evening, and that is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ and how your background and how fascinating it is and how you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and, you know, having been brought up a Muslim and, you know, your family background and all that. Just, you can start wherever you'd like to start. I know you're a good storyteller.
Sure. You know, before I get into my story, I just want to say, you know, just a point on what you both just mentioned about, you know, this is the birth of Jesus coming up and there's this anticipation, and being a new Christian, a fairly new Christian, you know, so many questions come up in terms of the root or the history or, like, what is the purpose of us doing certain things? And you know, oftentimes, that, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about how it's forgotten during Christmas that it is about Jesus. I just actually bought a pin, this old antique pin from this great little thrift store called Acts in Altadena. It's called, it says, Jesus is the reason for this season.
That's what it's all about right there.
Yeah, and so I'm in this mood lately to really get to the root of what are we celebrating. And, I mean, you know, this past, you know, Easter, it was really the same thing, you know, when it came to Good Friday, really understanding, you know, how Good Friday wasn't very good in terms of what took place, but how it was great in terms of what it served. And even we had our life group dinner two nights ago. We have these Lent life groups over at Bel Air, and it's, you know, it's so special that we've actually continued to meet since last Lent, you know, as a group, and it's a pretty diverse, you know, older group, a lot of wisdom. And so one of the questions I asked is, I said, what's the story with St. Nicholas and St. Nick, and is that rooted in some of our history and some of our Christian, you know, history, and even, like, what, you know, why people say bless you when you sneeze, you know, like going back to that root, you know, because it's all like rooted in God and faith. And so it's just, I really like to encourage people this holiday season to, you know, to ask questions, ask the dumb questions, you know, ask the ones that nobody really asks or understands sometimes, and you'll start to learn so much.
So did you get your answer on St. Nicholas?
I did. You know,
good.
We did.
Yeah.
We went to the authority, which is Google search, you know.
there you go. Yeah, that helps a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and I was teasing some of my life group friends. I said, don't be calling in and asking me questions about St. Nick, you know, putting me on the spot, because we never got, you know, confirmation. So maybe, Robert, you could be our confirmation on St. Nick. Like, we believe he was from Turkey, like from what is now modern-day Turkey,
yeah,
in the 4th century. And, you know, I mean, since he is called a saint, we assume that, you know, he lived a magnificent, you know, humble, serving kind of life, but the story goes that there was this farmer with three daughters, and this is not a joke, this is not a setup of a joke.
I know, it sounds like it. Yeah, it.
And the three daughters, you know, he was so poor he couldn't afford to get them married and have a dowry for them, and so this man, Nicholas, was very rich, and I believe he had inherited a lot of money from his parents who had died when he was young, but he would... He would go secretly give money to this farmer, and legend has it that he did it through the fireplace, through the chimney, where they used to hang stockings to dry, you know, like laundry. And mm-hmm. So that's how that started, supposedly. But he kept doing that until the farmer, you know, had to find out who is the secret mystery man, this mystery, you know, donor. And he caught him one night, and, you know, St. Nicholas, you know, insisted he not tell anyone. He wanted to keep it secret, but then word got out. So anytime, you know, people got a gift or any blessing, they would begin to say that it must be St. Nicholas.
Isn't that great?
It's a great story.
I love being
mm-hmm.
reminded of that.
It really is
beautiful.
It is a wonderful reminder. But you didn't grow up understanding much about Jesus. Or maybe you did. Tell us what your understanding of Jesus was as you grew up.
Sure, yeah. You know, one of the things that I like to, you know, point out to people is that Jesus is mentioned more in the Quran than Muhammad is.
That's shocking. Yeah. That's a shocking statement.
Yeah, you got to really let that settle in for a second, because when you really think about that, and this is not a version of Jesus. This is not you know, like a person that resembles the life and likeness of Jesus. This is the same person that had a virgin birth, a miracle birth, whose mother was Mary, whose father was Joseph, the same person who could heal the sick, who could walk on water. This is all stuff in the Quran that I learned, you know, prior to becoming a Christian. And in fact, it continues. It goes on to the point where if you ask a Muslim, you know, what happened to Jesus towards the end of his life, and you say, well, he was taken to the cross. Like, that's what a Muslim will tell you, that he was actually taken to the cross. He was persecuted the same way that he is in Scripture. And the biggest difference, the one difference, it's so funny, guys, it's like one little difference is mm-hmm. the biggest difference in the world, right? So the belief for Muslims, for me, was that Jesus was on the cross, but just before he was crucified, God rescued him, saved him, and basically made him ascend into heaven and only left a lifeless body. Now, that's not too hard to grasp, you know, when you think about it, like in terms of what Christians believe that God is capable of, right? What God has done in Scripture in terms of miracles and moments of saving and rescuing people. So just for that purpose, just go with it for 1 minute and just believe for a second, okay, if that's what happened, then the reason I started questioning, one of the strongest points for me was the seed that was planted, which was, well, then what happened to Jesus? He didn't have to die. How come Jesus didn't have to experience death if he was only a prophet, if he was only a man? And that was a really good question, because there's no answer. If
yeah.
you had that Muslim perspective, you know, you start thinking, well, I don't know. And in the Quran, it says that Jesus sits at the highest level of heaven. One could interpret that as, you know, like at the right hand of the Father, the way that it says
exactly
in Scripture. So again, as soon as the crucifixion,
well, that
sort
would
of,
mean that he has a higher seat in heaven than Muhammad.
Than all the prophets, than most of the prophets, right?
The prophets.
Right. And then here's the fascinating part.
a shocking statement.
Yeah, and so, and this is in the Quran. This is not like an interpretation or a theory or, you know, some sort of theology. This is actually in the Quran. And if you ask a Muslim, what happens to him now? Is it over? Is he just kind of sit there and relax? And they say, no, they said Jesus is the one who appears in the sky and comes back to save humanity at the end of the world.
Interesting.
That's in the Quran. Yeah, it's in the Quran. And so the second question was for me, why did Jesus get chosen to come back to save humanity? I mean, it sounds like God's, you know, given him a lot of favor for being a prophet, meaning he didn't have to die. He rescued him. He sits at the highest level of heaven, and he gets to be the face and the person that represents God saving humanity. And it's like, why not Muhammad? You know, why not Abraham, the father of the religion? Why not, you know, all these other people who are also in the Quran? You know, because Moses is in there, and you know, we have Noah, we have Job, we have all these other prophets, but why Jesus? And again, there's no good answer other than, I'm not sure. He might be God's, you know, favorite or something. So just, you know, in that moment, I think no matter where you sit with your faith, if you are a believer in the almighty sort of creation story, the story of Abraham and the chosen people and you know, that history, which every Muslim is, you know, in order to be a Muslim, you have to believe in the Old Testament. You have to believe in the New Testament. There is just the belief that there was a misunderstanding, a mistake made with the relationship of Jesus with God. And so, you know, that those two points, it almost said, okay, it doesn't prove anything, but it certainly starts making me question of you know, the rational, you know, thinking behind why does Jesus get all this special the special privilege compared to these other prophets. And I said, you know, by God, maybe I've been looking at him wrong. And
maybe there's more to Jesus than what you led to believe.
Absolutely. And you know, I was a practicing Muslim, just so you know. I wasn't just a cultural Muslim or just a, you know, like a Muslim by, you know, by family name. I was, you know, I mean, in fact, at the age of 16, I decided that I was going to practice really well and I wanted to be good at it. And so I was actually the first one in my family to go to Mecca and do my pilgrimage. I still have never had alcohol to this day. You know, I waited to have sex till I got married. You know, all the sort of like main tenets, especially for like an American, like for an American Muslim, that, you know, those are, you know, great accomplishments these days.
No, they're a great accomplishment for anybody.
Yeah, you know.
It is.
I mean,
right?
And I say that half joking because it's almost like we feel that way because we like to make ourselves feel good about the things that we do, but really it's the validation you get from your elders and from people that want to be in that faith or that like seeing you, you know, succeed. And it's just sort of like, wow, you're doing really good. And so I was a practicing Muslim, you know, had read the Quran, and I felt, honestly, I had a little bit of an arrogance about me in terms of the Old Testament. I thought I knew more about Christianity than a lot of Christians. And in some ways I do, you know, and I did in the sense that I knew the history. I knew, you know, about Abraham and Isaac, and I paid attention and I read those stories, and they're exactly the same in the Quran. And there's even prophecies in the Quran, like the Job prophecy of, you know, I mean, Jonah and the whale, you know, that representing Jesus. And, you know, again, you can believe in that prophecy that just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and then spit out, you know, so a Christian would look at that and say, of course, that's what happened. Jesus was crucified and he was 3 days in the grave and then he was resurrected. And a Muslim will tell you, well, when Jonah was in the belly of the whale, was he alive or dead?
Interesting.
And so that's, you know, so again, we get back to that.
So my understanding is that Muslims like to ask a lot of rhetorical questions so if it's a rhetorical question, it's an obvious while he was dead. And so is that their typical answer?
Well, it's the exact opposite, actually, like the way that Muslims see it. And I think, I'd be interested that he was alive in the belly's whale.
Okay.
I mean, the whale's belly, yeah. He was alive for those 3 days. And then was spit out.
Okay.
And so that's how they see that, you know, that's how they justify that Jesus wasn't killed. Because remember something, if we can believe in the same birth story, and we can believe in the same, you know, life and the same miracles and the same sort of, you know, historical significance, why the big difference, right? Here's the question. Why, what's the big problem then? Then what's our issue? The issue is this. If he died on the cross, there is grace. If he did not die, then we have to earn our way into heaven.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct.
That's the difference, and that's the sticking point. And I feel like, you know, maybe God has been, you know, sort of putting me in a position to share this, because you notice I don't have to bash Islam. I don't have to criticize it. I don't have to say anything negative about the religion in order to point out that difference.
Right.
And that's one of the tools, I think, that as a Christian, and for people listening, even for people who are, you know, years and years deep in scripture and are teachers like yourselves, there's this reminder to say that when you see a Muslim, you're looking at someone who is so close in faith to where you are, mm-hmm. that it's a matter of just those couple of questions that might make them shift, not change their whole being and change their whole view, but shift their lens on Jesus.
And that's why we like to talk about Jesus and the person of mm-hmm. Jesus and the love of Jesus and the grace that he offers people, instead of, you know, pounding people over the head with, you know, people. I think a lot of Christians say they believe in grace, but really when it comes down to it, a lot of them believe in works. Like, am I good enough? Just because, well, you know, I'm sure even though in your lifetime, before you became a Christian even, you hear people, Christians, say, well, I'm just not sure. Or, you know, I mean, people come up to Robert and jokingly go, well, I hope so. I hope I'm going to heaven. And Robert says, of course you are. You accepted Jesus. You believe Jesus is the Son of God. You follow him. You try the best of your ability to be like him. Of course you're going to heaven. Well,
and the response is, but I've done some bad things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going, yes, I know we all have.
Yeah. So we are, you know, I mean, that's that overarching kind of theme, I guess you call it, that so many of us have, that we just can never be good enough. And we are good enough. We're good enough right here today, wherever we are, whoever's listening to us, whoever's watching us on Facebook, you're good enough right now, today, to start,
right.
You know, following Jesus. There's nothing else you have to do. There's not a lot of hoops, right? There's not a, you know, it's easy. I mean, it's not easy to follow and to be faithful and to be a good person all the time, but it's...
Yes, amen. And, you know, there's a scripture that I love that I came across, and I heard it in three different contexts, but the one that sort of stood out to me was Luke chapter 5. And it's down in verse 17 where the paralyzed man comes to visit Jesus. So this is, just go along with what you're saying, guys, where people are like, well, you know, am I good enough? Am I going to get into heaven? You know, and like in this story, you know, Jesus was still, you know, he was still considered a great teacher by like the Pharisees and the people who were around at that time. It wasn't like, you know, he was clearly God to people yet. And he was still, you know, doing his talks and his ministering, but people would gather, even people who doubted that he was holy and that he was of God. But so people would come from all over because they had heard these rumors that he was healing people, right? And so for the purpose of getting healed, these friends brought this man who was paralyzed on his bed. And you know, what's great is because I believe that scripture doesn't, you know, fall short of giving us information. Like it's perfect in its storytelling, right?
Absolutely.
So like,
yeah.
You know, so what we're supposed to know, we know. And so if something's omitted, it's not like, you know, we have to assume or create a story of what they left out, because they put the important parts, the stuff that's actually part of the story. And so as Luke tells it, it was so crowded that, you know, people wanted to listen to this guy, Jesus, and see what he was all about, that they couldn't get the paralyzed man close enough to him to see if he could even heal him. So they climbed up onto a roof and they, you know, get really creative, and they like tear out the tiles on this roof, yeah. of a house, and they lower the man somehow like right in the middle of the crowd, so Jesus can see them. And it says, and this is the part where, you know, to anyone who feels what you just said, it says, when he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." And of course, you know, the people started doubting him, like, "Who are you to forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins."
And who are you to forgive sins? That was always his main criticism.
Yeah, yeah, you know, who are you? This is blasphemy, and this and that, and Jesus, I mean, like, you know, the way he spoke was so, like, I mean, you know, forgive me if this is out of line, but, like, it always, it's like what the cool guy says in the movie, like, you know, like the hero of the film, like, the way he says it, you know, those moments where he goes, you know, why do you raise such questions in your hearts? He says, which would be easier, to say your sins are forgiven you or to say stand up and walk? And, I mean, that's the moment in the film where you're like, oh, boy, is he gonna make them stand up and walk just to prove to these people?
Right.
And he said, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive people, I say to you, stand up, take your bed, and go to your home. And he did. And the miracle happened. And the man walked off. Now, this is the important part. This is a part that I think people miss sometimes. Because people see the miracle of Jesus. They see the power of God. They see him proving the Pharisees and the scribes wrong. However, what I think a lot of people miss is those people who brought the paralyzed man, the man was healed, he was forgiven, and at no point did Jesus say, you must now devote yourself to me. I am your God. Show me your devotion. Where it says that they all became Christians, they all became followers. They just went. They left. And they were
just
happy.
Yeah, picked up the mat and went home.
And went home. And it says that the rest of them, you know, it says that they were filled with awe, and they were saying, we have seen strange things today. Okay? They didn't say, we saw the power of the Lord and fell to their knees. They said, we have seen strange things today. That's how the verse ends. So I say to people, if God can forgive someone and heal someone, and that person only came for healing, they didn't come for devotion to Jesus, they didn't come as support, like a disciple to follow him, they came to get healed, you know, one could say for a selfish purpose, and yet Jesus still gave him that love and that grace and that forgiveness, and there was no other, you know, sort of string attached. So
that's right.
So if
no string attached.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so if you're a believer of Christ and you have faith in him, I feel like it's even that much more sort of secure.
Well, I want to know, we're going to take some questions before, you know, this 45 minutes is going by fast. But before we do, I want people to know how you did discover the truth, what your journey
right.
was. You've got amazing, since we didn't have time to pull up and work on your bio, it's like, you know, I want people to know you were a football player, and I know you said you're the president of Cap Out Films, and, you know, you're a producer and a writer, and you're a very creative guy. And I love the way you approach your Christian faith with your football, walking around downtown L.A. and some of the celebrities you've met. I'm not gonna give it away. I'll let you tell that, but why don't you first just tell us how you discovered the truth of who Jesus truly is?
Sure. I sometimes forget this is the part of the story that really kind of hooks people, especially, you know, people who know nothing about, you know, the faith journey. But, you know, because it is special, and I think God intentionally, you know, brings people to him, closer to him, in ways that you know, will resonate with that person, like in ways where it will actually impact that person. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, it wasn't a rock bottom kind of story. It wasn't a I'm lost and then now I'm found kind of story. It was more of like so many of us, you know, walking this life where it's comfortable, it's easy, you know, whether you have a good career or you're in a good relationship or you're in an interesting city or you're doing whatever you want, basically. And then, like starting to feel like, you know, there's something not quite there. And I think, you know, I was married for 11 years, had a really good marriage, you know, someone that I was with since I was in high school, actually. We were high school sweethearts. And so when that marriage ended, it was very like uneventful into a marriage, which sounds funny, but it was almost like there was no real like shock or feeling, you know, to have other than, see, my identity is kind of different now. Now I'm just Wally, you know, the actor, producer guy who used to play football, as opposed to the husband and the father and all that, right? So I just found myself, you know, gravitating towards people that were very, you know, I should say Shuler-like. you know, people who would smile all the time, people who were genuinely, you know, interested and sincere, you know, about other people's happiness. You know, like almost like, you know, from a male perspective, I would say like that vulnerable and sensitive kind of man, you know, that vulnerable kind of sensitive kind of friend, as opposed to, you know, the kind of culture, you know, how you're raised, you know, it's not a, again, it's not a criticism, but it's just the way it is. It's more of a macho, it's more of a, you know, everything. If you don't, you better figure it out. You have to be the strong one. You have to be able to tell everyone what to do and where to go and all that. So, so seeing really strong men who were vulnerable, like, I mean, I just was like, hey, this is great. Like, I want to spend more time with these people. And so specifically what happened was I was on a movie and one of my co-stars, his name is Chris Wolf. He was exactly that, right? That handsome, you know, rugged, good looking, you know, man who like you'd want your daughter to marry, you know, it's like, he was
a good guy.
Yeah. A really good guy. And like, you know, cause you get to know someone when you work with them on a project, right? You get to see them after hours and behind closed doors and all that. So I'm thinking this guy is a little too good to be true. You know, we need to dirty him up a little bit. I need to hang out with him a little bit, you know?
Figure.
So I'm trying to hang out with him and he basically says, you know, I don't really go out too much, Wally. Like I'm kind of a homebody, you know, I have a girlfriend who since then, by the way, he got engaged and is now married too and has a daughter with. But he said, you know, I do go to this LA men's group. You're totally welcome to come. I think you might like it, but it is Bible based, but it's not a church. It's, you know, a bunch of guys from LA from, you know, some guys are struggling. Some guys are major successes, but we kind of lift each other up and we try to, you know, change the reputation of men in Los Angeles. And I said, wow, I said, that sounds like a pretty good group, you know, and regardless of the Bible based, again, remember, I felt so confident in my faith and in my knowledge of the faith that I, you know, I almost liked being the only Muslim in the group. You know what I mean? I almost liked saying, hey, my son's name is Noah. Okay. Don't worry about it. You know, like, you know, with a little bit of an you know, attitude, like a chip on my shoulder. Right. So I said, sure, I'll go with you. And so I go and the very first night I go, their guest speaker, they always have guest speakers come in, happened to be Pastor Drew Sams of Bel Air Presbyterian. Yep. And he was the new pastor, you know, at that time. And so they kind of gave him this really nice intro. And so all of a sudden it's like, you know, Drew, so you know what I'm talking about, that in a room of about 40 like alpha males, he just kind of took over the room, but not because he stood tall and had a loud voice, but like almost through gentleness, he kind of subdued all of us and like into listening. And I mean, now, like, I know now that's like a Christ-like demeanor, you know, to not impose your will or to overpower people, but to almost like, you know, disarm them with this kindness and this love. So he speaks, it's really good, but it doesn't make me go, oh, I got to be Christian now. You know, I mean, I was just more moved by like the, wow, this guy's a really good speaker. He knows how to get his message across. You know, he must watch Tony Robbins and, that kind of thing. And I like to make this joke, you know, I said, if Tom Cruise and Joel Osteen had a baby, that would be the charm of my pastor.
Yeah. He's a great guy. I'll say a great young man. Cause he's our son's age. Yeah. He's great.
That's right. That's right. I started having like a number of experiences like that around these kind of people. But, you know, when you have a lifelong devotion to a faith, I mean, just like your Christian faith right now, I mean, imagine what it would take for you to actually question that, you know, like not just change, but to even like rattle you enough to say, is there something like missing in my faith? Right. So that was hard to do. And so one night I'm walking around Los Angeles and I have my football, and this is where the football comes in. you know, when you're lost in life and you don't want to admit it, you start doing things that are kind of bizarre sometimes, okay? And so so for a lot of people, they turn to alcohol, or maybe they turn to, you know, things that, you know, bad habits, or, you know.
For you.
Right.
For me, it was carrying a football and walking 10 miles a day through L.A. every single day for a year.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. Yeah.
I mean, it really is an amazing experience by itself, just to, you know, like just to get to know a city. I mean, you can imagine, especially with the football, because what happens is it sort of opens up this opportunity where people, strangers, would call out, hey, throw me the ball. Why are you in a football? And you start playing catch, and you have these interesting experiences on the street, in a parking lot, you know, in a neighborhood, whatever it is, and playing catch with someone sort of evens the playing field. You know, you're just, it's very childlike. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. Doesn't matter where you live. It just, you're playing catch, and it really opens things up. And so I have that personality where I can get really deep with someone, or I can maybe keep it on the surface. And it was almost therapeutic for me to go do that. So one night I'm walking by a gas station, and there's nobody there. It's at midnight, and there's one person, and he calls for the football, and it's Justin Bieber. And, you know, I mean, just that by itself was pretty cool. Like, that, you know, that could have been enough, right? Like,
amazing.
I played catch. Which,
that's an amazing story,
yes. Yeah, you know, we're playing catch. So I'm doing, you know, so I'm thinking, wow, you know, I have such a special life. You know, I've been so blessed in the movie world and the TV world and all that stuff. So this was just another, you know, what I call an entourage moment for Hollywood people. You know, like, you know, we all know what that means. And so as we're playing catch, he's, you know, he's being really kind, and you know, I'm kind of making my jokes, and we're laughing. And he asked me very sincerely, he looks at me and he says, Wally, let me ask you something. Do you know Jesus?
That's an amazing statement from him. Yeah.
It really kind of floored me, because, you know, here's this guy who's confident in his faith, who's been, you know, like a practicing Muslim. And for him to ask me that, you know, of course, I came back with a little joke. I said, well, I knew him on Monday night because I went to this men's group thing, but I'm a Muslim. You know, I just knew him on that night, but I'm Muslim. I'm not Christian or anything. And he doesn't apologize or play safe, you know, to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I hope I didn't offend you. No, he then says, do you want to come to my Bible study with me?
Pretty amazing.
And of course, the answer is yes.
Well, nope. The answer is yes, if you're not rooted in a faith and you don't want to. Now, all of a sudden, it's like I've already lost part of my identity and not being married anymore. Now it's like you want to, you're challenging me, because I wanted to say yes, and he was so real. He said, you know, Wednesday, 7:30 in Glendale, I want you to go with me, Wally. And I said, geez, I mean, I want to say yes, because it's Justin Bieber, and I was a fan before I met him in the gas station, and you know, I wanted to tell him, do you know how many times I stuck up for you? My friends, you know, say things and blah blah blah, but I said, man, I really want to go, but if I go, I'm pretending that I'm interested in being Christian, because he didn't beat around the bush. He didn't say, hey, you know, you seem like a nice guy, we should hang out. He said, it seems like you don't know Jesus, is what he was thinking, and I think you can get to know him if you come to my Bible study, which was so bold, and like really, like, I really respect that about anyone who speaks in that way. And so it challenged me to the point where I said, look, I really need to think about this, but I want to take a photo because no one's going to believe me, and I'll send that to you. So Don, I'll send that to you. You can post it side by side with our matching outfit picture. So that's when I learned, guys, that's when I learned what it means when God puts something on your heart. Because for the next, you know, week or two that I was walking, I just kept thinking about that. Why was he there? Why did that happen? Like, you know, because I believe in faith. I believe in things were intentional, you know, that God wants us to be certain places. And so I said, why did that happen? And I said, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere where he doesn't know me, where nobody knows me, so there's no pressure. I said, I'm going to go check out that Pastor Drew guy. He was a good speaker. So that's how the story starts of me walking into Bel Air with a football. And apparently, I mean, I was floored. I couldn't believe it at that lunch that Pastor Halverson had heard in D.C. about a guy with a football walking into Bel Air.
Exactly. Yeah, our friend Chris, the one I talked about earlier that we went up to listen to because his guest, he was a guest. Drew invited him to speak up there. And hey, we take questions. I want to see if there's anybody out there. I know we have a lot of shy people, but if there's anybody that has a question for Wally, I can take it here on my control panel on the call, on the telephone call, or I can actually see the screen in front of me. If somebody wants to type a question, I can read it. Hi, Brian and Emily and Peter. I saw some other people earlier, but it was scrolling past, and they were saying hello to you, Wally. I think there's people from your church that are on watching.
Oh, nice.
But
nice.
I can't
awesome.
See right now because it scrolled up in our phones about 4 or 3 feet in front of me on a tripod, so I don't want to mess with it, but I can see if somebody wants to ask a question there. Or if somebody would like to, on the telephone, if you've called in, all you have to do is click on the *6, and it's down here. There's the phone number to get in.
So if you're on Facebook and want to talk to him, you can do it right now by dialing this number, entering in that code, and hitting the *6, and you'll go in the queue and be able to speak with Wally directly. You can ask him any question you would like. But that's our call-in number.
Yeah, 641-715-365. Wally, there's a placard that Robert is holding up. And then the code to get it is 642-848-pound. And then just push *6 if you're already on there, and you'll be in the queue. Otherwise, if you want to type a question. We've been doing this for 6 years, and honestly, we probably get one or two questions every couple of months. My mom is typically on, and she always asks questions. She must have forgotten tonight.
Well, either that or she's doing her
Christmas
cards.
She's Christmas shopping or doing her Christmas cards like we were last night.
Or she's probably downloading all the Justin Bieber music right now.
That's right. She's on it. She's actually on her Spotify account, my mom. You know, she's...
Yeah, because he needs more fans. You know, like, I'm really glad we could help him. He needs more fans, you know?
Hey, I like him too. I think he's been through a lot, and just what he needs, more fans, exactly. But
right.
he might like my mom, you know.
he's such a like inspiration in so many ways. I mean, he just got married, and he's reading all these Christian books about marriage, and it's like he's so not shy about it. He doesn't care that he expresses his faith. Whether it's to his then fiance and now wife, or if it's to his fans, or, you know, even just like out of the blue, he'll just say like, God, you know, you make life so good. And he'll just post that. And, you know, for someone who had every single thing they wanted in the world, you know, with like the most fans on all social media, with everything at his fingertips, you know, to confine himself. I mean, it's not really a confinement, but you know what I mean? To focus on God and where he thinks God mm-hmm. wants him is such an inspiration, you know, for so many people.
The fact that Justin Bieber or anybody would invite some looney tune walking to Los Angeles in the middle of the night with a football in the dark to go to church with him
pretty cool.
is an amazing feat for anyone. And then for somebody with someone in Justin Bieber's position to do that is even more astonishing.
Well, he saw something in you, Wally.
That's what it is.
He saw that.
That was the point. The point is that it is a testimony of the fact that
absolutely.
God is at work.
So I see Heather on Facebook. She has a question for you, Wally. How are you expanding your faith within the Bel Air community now? What are you doing to expand your faith?
Well, this is a great question because there's so many answers, and Bel Air makes it really easy to do that. Now, mm-hmm. I'm biased because it's my only church I've ever been to, right?
Specifically, it's Bel. You haven't mentioned the whole thing. It's not just Bel Air Church. It's Bel Air.
It is.
Oh,
now.
They dropped the Presbyterian.
He did say Presbyterian earlier.
Yes, Bel Air Presbyterian
Church. Yeah, and you know what? I have a lot of pride in that too because, like I said, again, when you're the new person, like I always believed, like whenever, you know, like back when I was a Muslim and someone would convert, I would always say that person is really a believer because they chose to come into this faith. They chose to, you know, to let go of whatever they had before and to come into this. And so as a convert, as someone who, you know, joined the team a little late, well, I like to say that I was drafted. I was traded.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you were.
You know.
I like that.
Yes, exactly. So I asked questions. I remember one of the first times. Now, mind you, when I went to Bel Air, I sat in the front row and I found myself there 12 weeks in a row, 12 sermons in a row, still as a Muslim.
Yes. Wow.
You know, attending. Wow. And so, you know, that's how strong my faith was in Islam, was that, like, I'm not just going to abandon ship because
mm-hmm.
this handsome pastor is saying some nice words, you know? But the longer I sat there, it was the impact of the people around me, the community there, the kind of love and hospitality I would see among people. And even though it's Bel Air, I mean, you guys have been, it's not all hoity-toity. It's not everyone is, you know, driving a Bentley. There's people living in their car who come to Bel Air.
Yeah.
There's people who are laid off, who are not doing well, who are in really tough struggles in life. And when you see that firsthand, that here's this, you know, like chairman of a network, you know, crying and praying with someone who's living in their car side by side. Mm-hmm. That's when I said, wow, that is community. That is amazing, right? So to answer the question of how I got involved, you know, so this church, they offer so many things. I got baptized there, by the way, also, which was really special. But during the Lent season, we offer these Lent life groups where we follow like a curriculum with Meals for Jesus. And so you get into these groups based on your like geography of LA. And so that's
mm-hmm.
one way to get together like in a small group like that. But I've also joined a class. It's a Bible teaching class and it's a 2-year program actually. And I believe it's called Bethel is like the name of the program.
Yeah, you know what that is.
Yeah, you're familiar with Bethel?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We have, we have people who have been at Bel Air since the 1960s, okay? And,
yeah.
you know,
right.
they're there since
yeah.
the 60s, and they're sitting in the pew next to you listening to the same words you're listening to, and it just, I mean, if that doesn't humble you and make you feel like these are special people, then I don't know what does. But those same people that teach Bible, you know, also see themselves at your level in terms of, you know, family and community in the church, and so that's been a wonderful experience. You know, there's like 40 really like super bright, intelligent people in this class who all want to go deeper. And it goes a little further than just learning the Bible. It's learning how to express it, how to teach it, how to deal with, you know, with people that maybe have a lot of doubts and don't really understand and don't really believe, or maybe even a little hostile towards it. And,
mm-hmm.
and the other thing that I'm doing to get really deep there is, you know, for the first time, I felt so blessed that I could in a way give back. In that LA men's group that I first mentioned, that was about 30,
mm-hmm.
40 guys,
mm-hmm.
we're now at about over 80 for most of our meetings, and
awesome.
I'm now hosting the meeting at Bel Air every first Monday of the month.
That is unbelievable.
That's
terrific. That is so great. Hey, listen, we have a couple of housekeeping things we have to take care of, then we have to sign off. We've actually gone about 12 minutes over how we normally do because it's been so interesting.
Exactly.
But this is a church service, so one of the things we do online to people that are listening or watching us on Facebook, since we are all over the globe and we don't have walls and we don't have a church structure, we
mm-hmm.
take an offering at this time. So if you'd like to give to the Robert Shuler Ministries, you can either text, here's the placard here, text RSM to this phone number. And
that's
I'm just going to hold it up.
360-900-1338. That's text RSM, stands for Robert Shuler Ministries. And you text that to 360-900-1338. That's 900-1338, area code 360.
Now, the easiest thing to do is at the top of the Facebook page, you can just click on donate.
Yep.
Or you can go to drshuler.org. And give there. Same thing, you click on the give button. If you like the traditional way, here's our address, Robert Shuler Ministries. Again, I'm holding up a placard. 2128 Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. That's Robert Schuller Ministries, 2128 Bay Point Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. We also take prayer requests, and you can reach Robert at robert@schullerministries.org or me, Donna@schullerministries.org. And we are going to sign off. It is 8 o'clock, and we'll get in trouble from the podcast people. And
oops.
They won't want to broadcast all this.
So,
is interesting as it
so
is.
Let's have a closing prayer.
Yes,
dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for reaching out and grabbing Wally and bringing him into your family. We thank you, Lord, for everything that's taking place around the world as you are making a difference in people's lives. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen.
Amen. We want to thank you, Wally.
Thank you guys so much.
Oh, thank you. We hope to see you very soon. You're going to have to make it down to Mexico.
I just want to say one thing. I know the podcast guys are waiting, but you know, from what I learned, you know, about your family history and what your father did, Robert, in terms of, you know, like the hour of power and sort of like bringing, you know, the word to people through these new, you know, through a new way. It's just so awesome to see you doing the same thing with the Church with No Walls. Because in today's day and age, I mean, that's what it is. That's the progression to make so that you could be everywhere at any time, you know. So bless you guys, and I'm really praying for you. And I really hope people, you know, lend their support. They really should. This is special.
Thank you. And you know what? Since you brought that up, and we really appreciate it, everybody is listening, go to YouTube, to Robert Schuller Ministries channel, and please sign up. It's really helpful if
you
just subscribe and then click on alert, and you'll know, because we put out a 60 to 90 second video 5 days a week. We put out a blog. We put out lots of inspirational things, including a Sunday service, which you can see all of it on our YouTube channel, and it'll be really helpful for this ministry if you would do that. So thank you.
Plus you can see the picture of me and Donna matching if you do it.
Yes, I'm going to put that on Facebook when I post it.
Okay.
This podcast
will be
posted tomorrow. And Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
We'll see you next month on January 15th. Okay, Wally. Thank
you. It's the 15th of the month, 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Yep.
We'll be here.
Yep.
Talk to you next month.
Bye-bye. Good night.